Okay, just before we begin, is there anyone here for the first time? Anyone here? So only first time. Welcome. Thank you for coming. Okay, so let's begin with our invocation mantra. We normally chant this mantra before we read the Bhagavad Gita. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are reading from the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text 55. And I read the Sanskrit myself, and then perhaps together we can go over the translation of that Sanskrit verse. And then we'll read the explanation or purport given by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya. Bhakta mam abhijanati evan yashchashmai tadvataha tato mam tadvato gananva vishyate taranantaram. Translation. One can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by... It's coming through? Translation's coming through? Alright. It's coming through? Okay, I have to remember to speak a bit slower, so give time for the translation to get across. One can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me, by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. So we can repeat together. One can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me, by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and his plenary portions cannot be understood by mental speculation nor by non-devotees. If anyone wants to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has to take to pure devotional service under the guidance of a pure devotee. Otherwise, the truth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead will always be hidden. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.25, Naham Prakasha Shavasya. He is not revealed to everyone. No one can understand God simply by erudite scholarship or mental speculation. Only one who is actually engaged in Krishna consciousness and devotional service can understand what Krishna is. University degrees are not helpful. One who is fully conversant with the Krishna science becomes eligible to enter into the spiritual kingdom, the abode of Krishna. Becoming Brahman does not mean that one loses his identity. Devotional service is there, and as long as devotional service exists, there must be God, the devotee, and a process of devotional service. Such knowledge is never vanquished, even after liberation. Liberation involves getting free from the concept of material life. In spiritual life, the same distinction is there. The same individuality is there, but in pure Krishna consciousness. One should not mistakenly think that the word Vishate enters into me supports the monist theory that one becomes homogeneous with the impersonal Brahman. No. Vishate means that one can enter into the abode of the Supreme Lord in one's individuality to engage in his association and render service unto him. For instance, a green bird enters a green tree not to become one with the tree, but to enjoy the fruits of the tree. Impersonalists generally give the example of a river flowing into the ocean and merging. This may be a source of happiness for the impersonalist, but the personalist keeps his personal individuality like an aquatic in the ocean. We find so many living entities within the ocean, if we go deep. Surface acquaintance with the ocean is not sufficient. One must have complete knowledge of the aquatics living in the ocean depths. Because of his pure devotional service, a devotee can understand the transcendental qualities and the opulences of the Supreme Lord in truth. As is stated in the 11th chapter, only by devotional service can one understand. The same is confirmed here. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by devotional service and enter into his kingdom. After attainment of the Brahma Buddha, Srimad Bhagavatam 4, 4th canto, chapter 30, text 20, stage of, let me just go to that verse, it's a very nice verse. So that verse is, always engaging in the activities of devotional service, devotees feel ever increasingly fresh and new in all their activities. The all-knower, the super soul within the heart of the devotee, makes everything increasingly fresh. This is known as a Brahman position by the advocates of the absolute truth. In such a liberated stage, Brahma Buddha, one is never bewildered, nor does one lament or become unnecessarily jubilant. This is due to the Brahma Buddha situation. Back to the purple here. Devotional service begins by one's hearing about the Lord. When one hears about the Supreme Lord, automatically the Brahma Buddha stage develops, and material contamination, greediness, and lust for sense enjoyment disappears. As lust and desires disappear from the heart of a devotee, he becomes more attached to the service of the Lord. And by such attachment, he becomes free from material contamination. In that state of life, he can understand the Supreme Lord. This is the statement of Srimad Bhagavatam also. After liberation, the process of bhakti or transcendental service continues. The Vedanta Sutra 4.1.12 confirms this. Aprayanat api hitrishtam. This means that after liberation, the process of devotional service continues. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, real devotional liberation is defined as the reinstatement of the living entity in his own identity, his own constitutional position. The constitutional position is already explained. Every living entity is a part and parcel, fragmental portion of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, his constitutional position is to serve. After liberation, this service is never stopped. Actual liberation is getting free from misconceptions of life. End of the explanation of the purple. Om Ganati Manandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bhastaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namani Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Nirvasisha Sunyavadi Pashtatana Satarini Hare Krishna. So I can remember one of the amazing and profound experiences I had when I first started to read these books of Srila Prabhupada, that it was explaining something which was otherwise inconceivable in a very easy way. And it was describing something quite profound. Firstly describing that there is a spiritual realm, there is a spiritual dimension, and that this material world is just a perverted reflection of that actual reality. And this we can actually experience to one degree or another, just as a shadow of, say you want to enjoy some food, the shadow of that food is not enough. You have to taste it itself. Yeah? So in the same way, this material world, in Prabhupada explains in his books, is made in such a way that it's very difficult to actually get really comfortable. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. It's very difficult. Even if you do get comfortable, you're going to grow old in that comfort. So you may have a comfortable place you live, and may have a comfortable environment, but we're going to go through the rigors of old age. Birth, old age and disease. But Srila Prabhupada here in the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that there is another dimension. And that's the place that we actually belong. So that's the actual place that we are originally coming from. And that's the place which we will find peace. That's in the spiritual realm. That is the quest of the human form of life. The human form of life is actually meant for that quest. The Vedic scriptures describe that we have obtained this human form of life after transmigrating through different species. And we know, devotees know, how many are there? 8,400,000 different species of life. And finally we get this human form of life. Yeah? And the Vedic scriptures, they use this term, wake up, jeev jagal, which means wake up. Yeah? The human form of life is meant to inquire into this spiritual realm. It is meant, actually, the human form of life is one where we have the intelligence to break free of the pangs of material existence and come to the spiritual platform. We have the human form through following the process of bhakti yoga is specifically there so we can raise our consciousness to this spiritual platform. And then Bhagavad Gita then explains, Krishna explains that if we can raise our consciousness to the spiritual platform, then at the time of death, which is coming for everyone, sorry to give you bad news, death is that. That's one of the amazing phenomena about the material world. Everyone's trying to enjoy the material world, but at the same time, death comes along and destroys the whole thing. So death is going to come. So Krishna consciousness is about preparing for death. In one sense, it sounds, it sounds quite negative for explain that we are preparing for death. Well, that's not very enjoyable. But actually, we find that when we prepare, when we take to Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga, yeah, then a joy comes from that quest. And a natural joy comes. Because describe that Krishna, that we are parts and parcels of God. We are parts and parcels of Krishna. Krishna is another name for God. God has many names. And one of them is Jehovah, means our Father. Allah means the Great One. Krishna is addressed to his personal form. So we are all parts and parcels of him. Now, we have forgotten him. So we are in this reflection, we are in this material world, and we are trying to find satisfaction. But actually, satisfaction cannot be found on the material platform by adjusting the material facilities. Real satisfaction can be found from going within. And there's this different experience, or there's this word that devotees often use. It's described that something is mundane, means it's material. There's no, just like you can't enjoy the shadow. Yeah? In the same way, material facilities cannot really give happiness and sanctuary to the soul. Because it's a shadow. But By practicing Krishna consciousness and by following the principles of Krishna consciousness, one actually comes in touch with one's eternal spiritual identity. This is known as the Brahma Bhuta platform. Yeah? And what does one experience on this spiritual platform? As many descriptions, Brahma so kantvat antam, one experiences unlimited, ever increasing happiness. Yeah? So just try and contemplate that for a few seconds. Unlimited, ever increasing happiness. Who wants unlimited, ever increasing happiness? Listen. Natural, isn't it? We want unlimited, ever increasing joy. Yeah? It says this is what souls experience on a spiritual platform. Yeah? Just like you will see the devotees here, you see devotees are always engaging in chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And they keep on chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Prabhupada, in the purport to this verse, which he quotes from the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he explains that devotees never feel tired in chanting the holy name of Krishna. Alright, sometimes we may feel tired. That means we're not properly chanting. It means we're not attentively chanting. But when it's chanted on the spiritual platform, when we're paying attention, then one will experience that. One will experience ever an increasing happiness that comes not from without, but it comes from within. So this is also proof of the spiritual dimension. It's the proof of the eternality of the soul. Because we can go on chanting Hare Krishna, like we just saw 24-hour kirtan, isn't it? Used to be 6-hour kirtans, 12-hour kirtans. Now it's 24-hour kirtans. I'm sure there'll be 48-hour kirtans soon. 3-day kirtans. You know? Huh?
A lifetime
kirtan, yeah. Lifetime in kirtan. Yeah. To try and get some understanding of what mature devotees are experiencing. Just imagine if you had chewing gum. You have chewing gum here, I'm sure you do. Universe. Chewing gum. And the more you chewed it, then the more flavor came from it. You chew it. And chewing gum, it soon loses its flavor, doesn't it? And you want to spit it out. Because it's lost its flavor. Yeah? But imagine a chewing gum that never ever loses its flavor. The more you chew it, the more wonder of flavor and dimensions that chewing gum reveals. So you're still chewing that chewing gum in 5 years and it's becoming, wow, amazing, wow. It's increasing. It's like, and at the same time, it's like nothing have ever experienced in the material world, but it's given you more joy than what you've ever imagined in the material world. It's given you more happiness and more satisfaction. So for the devotees of the Lord, mature devotees of the Lord who take the time to practice the principles of Krishna consciousness, this is what they begin to experience. As this verse again quoted in this purport, everything's increasingly fresh and new for the devotees. So that means the devotees are experiencing the spiritual world. They're actually experiencing the spiritual dimension. Because he described in the spiritual world, there is no anxiety there. It's called Vaikuntha. Kunta means anxiety. There is no stress. There is no anxiety in the spiritual world. This is a common factor of the material world. So, such a wonderful thing that devotees of the Lord are experiencing. Such a wonderful opportunity. So we should. It may look like ordinary activities. This looks. For the untrained eye, it may look like a normal building but actually it's where the service of Krishna is going on. And those who take to the process, they're discovering something very, very, we discover something very, very profound. Again, it's our original spiritual identity. And that makes for a very exciting life. like in everyone's looking for some type of excitement in life, isn't it? Some type of just like when we was just a few days ago, we went up to the mountains, you know, here where they'd have skiing resort. Yeah. What's it called? Yeah. Very high up. We went very high up. And there's all these, but there's no snow there, so there's not much good for skiing. But there's all these, they're trying to experience and have these extreme sports, isn't it, as well? Trying to experience something different, trying to experience some type of excitement. Why? Because they're bored. There's no excitement, yeah? But devotees don't need to go skiing. Any devotees go skiing? We just chant Hare Krishna. And it's very exciting, yeah? Or we wash Krishna's pots. It's much more exciting than skiing. Yeah? Or we make garlands, or, you know, it's very exciting, yeah? Or engage in kirtan. Yeah? Just like, you know, we went up to these mountains and we came back and we told the devotees, oh, we went up to these mountains and none of them seemed very interested or impressed. Oh, well, big deal, we went up down at the mountains, yeah? Just like the now, especially young children or even, you know, there's all these fantastic films that persons watch, isn't it? All fantasy, you know, Harry Potter, do you have Harry Potter films here? I suppose they're everywhere, the whole planet, you know. And everyone watches these films and they enter and they forget their normal, everyday, humdrum life. And for a few moments, for an hour or so, they enter into another realm. Another existence. Oh. And even, I remember when I was young, I would experience this. I'd go to see these films when I was young, and I would come out of the theater or the picture house, and for a few moments, you'd still be in that headspace. You're still, wow, in this magical world. But then it would disappear by the time we got to the chip shop. It's all back to normal again. Yeah? Back to the mundane again. Yeah? And at the same time, it's all fantasy. It's not real. Sorry to tell you, but Harry Potter is not reality. Yeah? All these, I don't know, it's not reality. Yeah? We see that, isn't it? People make a religion of it. People go on pilgrimage to the place where it was filmed, you know. They take the dust from the place where it's filmed. You know. And so, like in London, we have this very famous a tourist attraction called Madame Tussauds. You may have heard of it. It's just wax models of famous people. Yeah, so they can go, because they can't get near the famous people, but they want to experience some type of ras or some type of sensation that they was with a famous person. So they pay £30. I think it was £30 they pay to get in and stand by a wax famous person, say Michael Jackson or whatever. And there's a queue. Every time we go past this Madame Tussauds, there's a queue of 300 people all waiting to get in, just so they can have their photos taken with a wax model of a famous person. Yeah. So we can see that the soul is looking for, it's hankering for something other than the material. You know? Perhaps we may have all shared that experience. Perhaps some of us were born into Krishna consciousness, some of us were not. But we experience it always looking for that something else, something, another experience than what I'm experiencing now. But what's wonderful about Krishna consciousness is that it is not in any way, it is not fictitious. It is the real thing. Krishna exists and the spiritual world exists. And we can go there. We can go there by taking up devotion and developing pure devotional sentiment for Krishna, we can go back to that, we can actually go back to the spiritual realm and actually be with Krishna. It's not a fictitious thing, it's actually reality. Yeah? And so this is, so what else are we going to do with our human form of life? This is such a wonderful thing to actually, it's such a wonderful thing to actually achieve. Yeah? And so, as devotees, as we progress in this development of affection and love for Krishna, also it's not like one doesn't experience Krishna; one just has to wait. You never know at the time of death to see if it's real or not. No. Krishna reveals himself to his bhakta. He gives revelation along the path. Yeah? So Krishna reveals himself to his devotees in proportion to their surrender. And what devotees experience is factual. It is not something sentimental. There's some, in England, there's quite a big, I don't know if it's same here, but we have many, we have this fundamental atheistic persons who they're standing up and saying there's no such thing as God, and they're having these big debates. I won't mention any names, you might know of their names, but it's very common in England, lots of atheists in England. And they're trying to explain, and I was reading one person's book, I was interested. Okay, I say the name of the book, you probably know. It's called The God Delusion. And I was just interesting. In other words, I was interesting what this person had to say. And basically what he's saying, that anything that the spiritualist or the devotee of God is experiencing is just something within the mind. It is not actually real. And they give the example, just like when we was young, when your parents say, or they explain about Father Christmas. I don't know if you had that at Christmas time, your parents said, you know, there's Father Christmas. But it's just fictitious. Yeah? But for the child, in their innocence, it's actually real. So I remember when I was young, my parents they very much convinced me in the existence of Father Christmas. I was very convinced. And then what they used to do, they used to, at Christmas time, my dad, he would have a table and he would leave some mince pies there, and he would leave a glass of lager, of alcohol. And then the next morning, on Christmas Day, I would come down, there'd be only one mince pie left and half a glass of alcohol. And I became convinced Father Christmas came and he enjoyed the mince pies. Yeah. But it's just a figment of my childish imagination. Yeah. Another one was the tooth fairy, where your tooth falls out, you put it under the pillow. This example he gives, actually, this atheistic person, and you put it under the pillow, and the next morning it turns into money. Yeah. Yeah. So he's trying to... So I read this and I was thinking, my God, this person has got... I didn't hardly read the rest of the book. It was such a ridiculous proposal. Because what I'm experiencing to some degree in my humble effort is a lot different than this childish imagination. It's something that invigorates one's whole being, and it actually invigorates one's whole life. And again, it just becomes more and more wondrous. Again, it'll be Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atma. Yeah? The more we can raise our consciousness to this platform where we actually can experience the bliss of Krishna, yeah? We'll experience that it is not anything to do with the material world. It has absolutely nothing to do with the material world. It's completely coming from the spiritual realm. And so we will have a wonderful opportunity. We all should, and specifically the process of Krishna consciousness we mentioned already, it is very much focused on the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yeah? And it's something that as practitioners of Krishna consciousness as well, we should always be trying to reapply ourselves. Because although we've taken up the process of Krishna consciousness, still the material world is very much there. So I suppose to one degree or another, as devotees of the Lord and our path of Krishna consciousness, then the material world seems very attractive, yeah, sometimes. Yeah. And the material world is created that way. The material world is like one big distraction. Yeah. The material is made to be a distraction. Yeah. So this is the nature of us conditioned souls, is we are just like the one example given in the Srimad Bhagavatam is given that just like a moth, it's attracted to fire. And amazingly enough, the moth maybe go to fire, and even if it makes it, because the flames of the fire flicker, And even if the moth makes it through the fire, it will turn around and come back again, only to be engulfed in the flames. Yeah? So, but the more we can absorb ourselves in Krishna, in the Krishna's service, in chanting Krishna's holy name, then this material world will not be able to distract us. Like there's another example given in the Srimad Bhagavatam of one arrowsmith. This is in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. An arrowsmith, someone who makes arrows, it's not such a common trade now. But he was absorbed in making these, because arrows have to be very straight. It's no good having a bent arrow. It's very, very nicely. So he's absorbed in getting his arrows very straight, you know, sanding it, filing it very straight. And the king came past. And when the king would come, he would come with a retinue. The king would come with band playing, you know, announcements, here comes the king, here comes the king, you know, horses and everything. But this person was so absorbed in making his arrow that he didn't even notice. And the king went past and he just, look at his arrow like this. So the same way, the devotees of the Lord, we're absorbed in our service to Krishna. And that way we can be free from attraction to the mundane material world. Yeah, we're absorbed in the details of our service, absorbed in making garlands for Krishna. Yeah, complete absorbed in doing our particular service of Krishna. And in one place, Prabhupada describes that in this way we flood the mind and intelligence becomes flooded. It can flood out any thoughts of material enjoyment. Yeah, Hare Krishna. Is there any questions or comments on these points? On anything to add or any questions I could think? Yes, please.
Maybe you can explain to this atheist.
Yeah, the God delusion, yeah.
Being religious, the Holy Father is regular with principles. So it would be just because of some religious sentiment, it doesn't make sense, because it's normal to give up something because one tastes something higher. It would be just in the mind.
Yes. Everyone heard that? So it's not just in the devotees actually experiencing something, before actually experiencing something factual. It's not just a figment of the imagination. Just remembering, as you're saying about the regulative principles, this is one challenge we give to such persons who profess that there's no such thing as God. Actually, the process of bhakti yoga is exactly that. It's a process by which Krishna, God, he reveals himself to us. So the atheists we are serious about coming in contact with Krishna. Even the atheists, they sometimes profess to be quite serious about seeing God. Okay, if I see, then and then I will believe. So then we can visit. Okay, do you really want to come in contact with the Supreme Person, the person from whom everything is coming? Do you really want to come in contact with him? Yes, I do, they may say. Okay, then please follow this. First of all, no more alcohol. They become very no, then follow these principles: no more alcohol, sex, intoxication like that, and no gambling and no eating meat. They will not take to the process. It means they're not really sincere. Yeah, they're not really sincere in trying to come in contact with Krishna, trying to come in contact with the Supreme Person. But the devotees of the Lord, they are very sincere and very serious about this, of coming in contact with Krishna. And just one point I forgot to mention is that this coming in contact with Krishna, who is the origin of everything, who is the source of creation, is the all-pervading, supreme person. You don't have to, as Prabhupada mentioned in the purport here, he mentions, it's not based on any academic qualification. It's just based on sincerity. Yeah. So anyone in any walk of life can actually perfect their life, no matter what job or occupation they have. If they're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, they are the most fortunate person. Yeah. So you may have a very simple life. Externally, your circumstances may be very humble, very simple. But if you're chanting Krishna's holy name and you're serving Krishna, then actually you are better situated than the richest person on the planet. Yeah. Should be convinced of that. You are doing better than the most famous person on the planet. Yeah. You are better than the most so-called beautiful person on the planet. Yeah. You're much more, you are at a stage you have perfected, yeah, the human form of life. Yeah. So better be a humble person chanting Hare Krishna than the richest person in the world. Yeah. We should have that. Yeah. Because what are they experiencing? Having so much wealth, so many different anxieties come. Yeah. It's like we have some wealthy persons that come to our temple. Multi-millionaires, multi-billionaire, he comes to our temple every day to come and take darshan. Yeah. He always comes in on his phone, so many different anxieties. Because he's a devotee, so in one sense he's doing better than other persons on that level of economic development, you know. But still, it's lots of anxieties, lots of pressures. But there are examples of great devotees who do have unlimited wealth. But because they have all this wealth and they use it for Krishna, it doesn't interrupt their devotional service, doesn't interrupt their devotional resolve as well. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Yes, please, Mujer. Oh, you said the name. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
Yeah, he once, interviewer asked him if he faced God, what question he would ask God. And somebody was explaining that, and I wasn't watching that video, but allegedly he became very serious, very sincere, and he said, I would, in connection to your lecture today, I would ask him, why has he made it so difficult to find out something about his existence, or something like that? Why has he hidden him so well in this material world, so we cannot reach him by some level of sincerity or by our means? But he asked this question. He seems sincere, so maybe if you can try to answer this question, why has he...
Yeah, this is one of the... sometimes when you watch these debates, normally their focus of attention is on the Judeo-Christian tradition. But if only they would come in contact with the Sangatam mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because actually the process is quite simple. The process of Bhakti Yoga is very sublime and very simple. Is all Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. But we shouldn't underestimate the devious nature of actually demons. They may profess such a mentality, yeah, they may profess to have a sincere, you know, inquiry, but if you present them the simple truth of Bhakti Yoga, they will find a million reasons why not to take it up, you know. Jai Shishi Pancha Tattva Ki Jai. Yeah. You may explain the process of Bhakti Yoga, but they're not... In previous ages, then when someone would become... One scholar would meet another scholar. I think it was mentioned this morning's class, was mentioning. When one scholar would meet another scholar, and you mentioned about the Buddhists in this morning's class... If they would meet, or if they would be defeated, then they would accept that person as their guru. But in this day and age, in the age of Kali, They will never accept from the position of the theist. They will argue that for a simple sublime process, even though they may present themselves as being quite sincere, you know, they will find 100 reasons not to follow the regular principles. You know? Are you crazy, man? How many reasons do that? Yeah, I mean, I have to do that to understand God. Why should I have to do that to understand God? Why does he make it so difficult? I mean, I stop drinking whiskey? Why should I stop drinking whiskey to understand God? they will not actually be prepared. But anyway, back to the point I was just thinking that it's such a shame that we need to do more preaching. A lot more preaching. Because they're only arguing against Judeo-Christian principles of philosophy, etc. But they haven't really come in contact with the Vedic literatures and the Srimad Bhagavatam. The amount of detail the Srimad Bhagavatam goes into, with all due respect to the Bible, it's very simple. In the beginning was the Word, isn't it? You know? And that's one of their critics. So what does this mean? In the beginning was the Word. But you read Srimad Bhagavatam, it gives such an elaboration on creation, isn't it? From subtle to gross and how it came apart and the plenary expansions, the plenary portions, and there's the Purusha, he expands himself. So much wonderful detail. Yeah? But they haven't come in contact with it. And one time I was trying to organize that Hridayananda Maharaj meet with Richard Dawkins. I didn't pull it off. I had this thing. No, it has to be the devotees. Why are they arguing with? Why don't they meet devotees? It's fame. Then I came across where Prabhupada in one purport, he says, devotees actually are not so interested in so much debate. They will stand up the philosophy. They will stand up for the philosophy when it's needed. But they're not out to go and debate and defeat people. They got more better things to do by serving Krishna. So we offer persons books on Krishna consciousness, but we're not, you know, our mentality is not just to smash and defeat philosophies. When persons come to us with a philosophy, then we explain the superiority of Krishna consciousness logic. But as devotees, I changed my tact then. I was kind of pulled back a bit from trying to organize a debate. Although devotees do it, there are some debates that devotees do engage with atheistic persons. You know, but devotees are too busy serving, too busy serving Krishna. As I just finish on this point, there's that story, isn't it, where there was one scholar who came to Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, wasn't it? Know this story. And they couldn't, they was too busy doing their writing and their bhajan. And this scholar came to defeat these two saints, Rupa and Sanatana. And so Rupa or Sanatana, they just signed the document saying I was defeated because they didn't have time. They didn't want to bother with him, you know. All right, okay, I'll sign here. All right, there's your document. Go and show that you defeated us in debate. And then Jiva Goswami came to hear of it. And Jiva Goswami was very much alarmed. How dare this do to my Gurudev? And then he sat down with him and completely defeated him. Completely defeated him in every way. And then news got back to, I think, was it Rupa or Sanat Goswami? You'll know the story. Got back to the Goswamis and I was very displeased. And for some time, Jiva got banished from their association. So as an example, devotees, they got, although we have, you know, we have profound philosophy in the Vedic scripture, and we offer this to everyone. Just like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one of his main, as we was hearing this morning, one of his main things for attracting people is his beauty. And I was thinking this morning how this point, the beauty of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it's still going on now, the beauty of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is still attracting persons to Krishna consciousness, especially the beauty of the Harinam and how colourful it is, isn't it? Especially when we go through the towns, the industrial the towns, and devotees look very bright, isn't it, in their dhotis and saris and very bright faces, You know, it's so attractive, you know. And this is what definitely brings a curiosity in many people. And they're very much attracted. They see the bright-faced devotees. Like I was just very much, because we went on Harinam on Saturday, isn't it? Yesterday. It's amazing how every Harinam and every temple has devotees very keen at giving up books and approaching people. It's very nice to see. I think we saw some Matajis were approaching people and brewers with books and giving books out. And we have this in London as well. Also, we're quite big in London is getting the other people to dance as well, grabbing them by the arm and spinning around as well. Anyway, Krishna consciousness, Harinam Sankirtan is very beautiful. It's the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yeah, so that's Hare Krishna. Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, I should stop there. It's okay. Hare Krishna. Okay. Okay, thank you for your kind attention. Hare Krishna. Thank you again for listening to and allowing us to say a little something. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki.
Jai.